It's a safe place to be. It's a place where you go in times of insecure, in times of being attacked. When you are under an attack, you go find a safe place to be. And the Bible refers to the refuge as a secure place, as a fortress, as a high place, as a rock. And that is exactly what Jesus is for us, our high place, our safe place, our rock. And Psalms 46, 1 and 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. But I want to just think about the way of the psalmist talks about this. You know, have you experienced the earth removing? How many of you like it? You know, if you're from California, you probably have an idea. How many of you like the earthquakes? How many of you want to see the mountains being destroyed and all those lives go down to the river and then be carried up to the ocean? You don't want to see that, right? Let's say that how about if we are in a place in a moment where we see all this stuff going on? Be honest for a moment. Are you going to feel a little bit of fear? Of course. But the psalmist says, I wouldn't. Because my refuge is my God. Oh man, I want to see myself in that kind of situation to claim this statement, the Lord is my refuge. When you look around and see this world, oh man, this is world. This is terrible. I don't know how many of you love to see the news. I really don't like to see the news anymore. Every time I turn on the TV to see the news is to get the bad news of the forecast. And find out if Guanacaste is going to be affected by another flooding or what, or who killed who, and if they caught the one who killed that one. It's all about that. So much stress. People are talking only about the future and about the economy and about the people. You know, the masses of the people are always talking about the insecurity that exists in our future and in our economy, and that sets your stress up. The other day, a teacher was talking with a mother of a 5-year-old boy. And she said, you know what, we found him with a huge headache. He said, a huge headache. Okay, we tried to find out what was the problem and what's going on with him. And you know, many, many times when the kids don't want to be in classroom, they say that they are dying. You know, I used to do that. My mother used to call it chicken fever. Honey, you have chicken fever. Yeah, I got it. Chicken fever probably doesn't exist, but you know, for me, it was the end of the world. So anyway, they couldn't find anything on this little boy, so the teacher asked him, do you have any other sickness problem in your body during the last week? And this little boy said, yes, a mini heart attack. With 5 years old. I was thinking maybe he was hearing a stressful conversation between his parents. So the question is, how this stress is affecting us, everybody? I mean, I know, I should know this. This is real. You know, there are a lot of people today that are sick because of their stress, because of the stressful life they are living, unfortunately. And I can see it. You know, I can see it now in these days. And so we got to be careful with that. You know, my sister, she's a mature woman. I love her so much. And I was spending some time with her just, you know, last Friday when I came back. And she was telling me about an episode of her life when she had a very tough conversation with one of my older brothers. You know, the worst thing ever, I guess, is siblings' problems. You know, that's the devil. That's terrible. So she said she had this terrible conversation with my brother. She was not expecting this kind of words going back and forth that took the conversation to a places never expected for her. That, you know, that time when you just release the phone and you go like, something's gonna happen with me now. Something's going on already in you, you know? And she said, I'm gonna die. I was not expecting this. So, you know, somebody came and tried to calm her down and talk to her and pray for her. But the day after, this weird energy came out of his body. And even today, when this energy is controlled, is under control, in any kind of a stressful situation that turns on, it comes up. It's terrible, you know? My question is to you today, what's your refuge? Where do you go when you hear bad news? Where do you go when you lose your balance? When you start to experience this kind of breathing and anxiety is coming to your body, and you're saying, oh, what I'm going to do? When you lose your mind, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, if you're not being in a safe place or not. Where do you go? Where do you go when you get so excited about something? You know, next Saturday, 7 p.m., let me invite someone. I can go and invite someone and say, hey, you know what? I want to invite you to come to your worship night at Hope Fellowship. And they go like, hey, I go. But afterwards, I will invite you to have dinner with me. Yes, I will! See? How do you go? Where do you go when you are so excited about something? Where is your refuge? We all need a refuge. We all. I mean, you and me, we all need a refuge. But unfortunately, many, many times we choose the wrong refuge. What is that thing that provides security to you? If I ask you today, you're in church, so you will say, the Lord is my refuge. He's my present help in times of trouble, because we're in church. How about if we go to a counseling session and you be honest? Let's change the question. How about if I ask you, what is that thing that provides security to you? Probably you say, well, money. Yeah, money provides security. When I'm running out of money, I don't know what to do. Visa and MasterCard is my present help in times of trouble. Or maybe, how about the food? There are many, I mean, you don't have an idea how many people find their refuge in the food. So I want to say something about this. What happens when we choose the wrong refuge? Number one, when we choose the wrong refuge, it produces a distance between God and us. Why? You know, the first commandment says, you will not have other gods before me. Number one. But when you choose a wrong refuge, when you find some other place or something else to meet your needs, you're changing your God. You're putting your side in another thing or another person. Let me illustrate this by this way. How about if I'm driving in downtown with my wife in my car, she's sitting there right next to me. And I see this beautiful woman going across the road. And I'm trying to steer my car. If my wife realizes that, well, she's gonna jump out of the car, depends on how big this car, okay? But don't you think that it was going to cause a distance between her and me? But she's sitting right next to me. It's not a physical distance, it's an emotional distance. Right? You're married, you know what I'm talking about. And all these kind of things happen. These kind of things don't occur in this church. But let me go further. How about if I find another woman to meet my needs? It's going to cause distance between me and my wife, for sure, of course. That is exactly what happened when I found another wrong refuge instead of God to meet my needs. The whole Bible talks about our relationship with God. And during the whole life, the whole Bible, the Lord prepares our relationship with Him with a marriage. So every time we go out to something else or to someone else, we are committing adultery with God. It's just a simple thing. We're changing the right refuge for the wrong one. Many people will say, depending on what you are passing through, yes, I really don't feel God too close to me. But let me tell you something. That is just your feeling. Because God, even though you go to a wrong refuge, He did not move from you. He's always there. Another thing that we can experience when we go to a wrong refuge is disappointment. We will be disappointed, for sure. You know, Satan says to say to you, hey, come to this comfortable place. Come, you will be okay. I will have economic problems, go to the bank, get another loan, or go and find your refuge on the alcohol, and at the end of the things, you will be disappointed. Absolutely. Because he's a liar. He's trying to move you to another comforter, but because of that, you are not going to that comforter. There's only one, and his name is the Holy Spirit. At the end of his life, that person will end up being even more depressed. It's terrible, in the church, people are so deep. Because of that. How about alcohol? The liquor. Alcohol. Many people, even if they not even think about it, they don't think about it. They don't, never say anything about their drinks problems, because unfortunately when you are, going through something that is wrong, that person won't admit it. Maybe your wife will say, hey, you know what? You gotta be careful. You're drinking 2 beers every night. And that person will say, well, I'm not a problem. It's just 2 beers. Come on. I'm not an alcoholic. Come on. I can handle that. I can deal with that. Well, 2 beers a night is 14 beers per week. And if it's something that you cannot quit today, without dying, I think you have a problem. I think you're seeking for a wrong refuge. One more thing is that if we choose the wrong refuge, we will find destruction. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 16, 12 and 13 says, and in the 39th year of his reign, he's talking about the king Asa became diseased in his feet. And his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, listen to this, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested. It means he died with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. This king did not die because of the physicians. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. If you're sick, go to the doctor. What I'm saying is, he died because he did not seek the Lord as his healer and as his refuge. It's amazing to think that something that could be so good for us, so healthy for us, could be our own refuge. Just like what we eat, our food. I don't want to go and I don't want to talk about, I mean, against the desserts, because I know we love ice cream and desserts and stuff like that, you know, but at night, when we go out and get back home right after dinner, it seems like the dessert is talking to us, saying,
hey, boy, you had a bad day, right? Come on, come with me, come.
Yeah, I had a terrible day. Or chocolates, you know, the chocolate bars. I've seen a woman eating a huge one. I mean, because in the USA you have huge ones. Right after one dinner, I mean, right one night, right one is okay. Anyway, but how about if I start to talk to you about the good things that we can find when we go to the right refuge, which is the Lord? Number one, strength. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength. It means that if I go there, this is something that I'm gonna find. Instead of if I go to things like drugs, just to mention some. I'm not going to find strength on drugs or alcohol or immorality, sex immorality, or even in entertainment. I've seen people doing sports almost 24 hours a day. That's what they want to do, sports. They are so in love with their bodies. They found a refuge in their bodies. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing. No, do sports. Just make sure that God is not your refuge. Busyness. Wow, you know what? I've seen people working, trying to work 20 hours a day and sleeping on the floor. But when you realize what they're doing is they're trying to escape from something. I've seen women spending their full day in church. We call them a church rats. What are you doing? You don't have kids, you don't have a husband, but what they're doing is they're escaping from their house, they're escaping from their husbands. And it seems like for them that this is a good excuse, because if their husband says something, they say, oh, come on, honey, I'm coming from the church. There's a lot of stuff to do at home fellowship every day. It's a busy, active church. And then they put on their horrible pajama for his husband not even to get close to her. And he tries so much, she will say, honey, my prostate hurts a lot. Come on, get out of the church and go and meet. Whatever is going to happen around you, but look for the right refuge, which is the Lord Jesus. How about television? Hey guys, the most important invention of the man, the remote control. And we, you know, as men, because you know we're men, we can buy the best the best couch ever to be there. And I just cannot imagine my wife from the kitchen saying, hey Henry, can you do me a favor? Oh, I would love to have a robot at home to do everything. But you know what? You're gonna find as well if you go to the right refuge. Help. It says, 46:1, it says, God is our very present help. It not only says help, it says present help. It not only says present help, it says very. Why present? What is present? Present is right now, right here. immediately, always ready to go. This is the help that God provides to us. You know what? And why is that? It's because God is always with you. He's here, always, all the time. It never changes. Look what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 6. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Oh, I love that part. Many people think that it says the Lord is at hand because the Lord is coming soon, the rapture. No. He's not talking about that rapture. He's talking about that the Lord is near, here, right beside you, right within you, right with you. And then he says more. He says, be anxious for nothing. You hear that? Come on, church, do you hear that?
Yes.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Let me put it upside down. Be anxious for nothing, the Lord is near. Wherever you go. You accepted Jesus as your Lord already, remember that day? When you accepted Jesus as your Lord, immediately the Holy Spirit came upon you, and His promise is that He lives within you. Is that okay? Wherever you go, you take your lungs with you, they are within you, right? Wherever you go, you take your stomach with you, is that right? How about the Holy Spirit? It's within you. Is with you wherever you go. It's right there. That very present help is here. It's right here beside you. Present help. Do you guys remember when Peter was outside, you know, and maybe the Lord was, Jesus was doing some stuff around, and then the IRS appeared? Or have you read that in the Bible? The IRS appeared? No? No, but really, yeah. You know, the tax collector from the synagogue appeared. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about paying taxes, okay? But if you have to, you have to pay. But what did Peter do? Oh, wait a minute. And went straight to Jesus and said, Rabbi, I don't know if you know something about the rules of this world, but we're supposed to pay taxes. What should we do? Jesus did not get stressed about that. He did not get anxious about paying taxes. If you keep reading the story, you will find out that he not even had the money in his pocket either. But he answered in a very gentle way to Peter and said, go fishing. Can you imagine Peter? What? Go fishing. Maybe Peter said, well, if he doesn't care about paying taxes, me neither. I'll go fishing. But when he caught the first fish, the Lord said to him, open his mouth. And there were coins, money enough to pay Jesus' taxes and Peter's taxes as well. And the problem was solved. That is not for you to begin, right? You want to go fishing tonight? This is the thing. Jesus had the money. Peter didn't have the money, but they had the right attitude. Peter went to the right refuge, and Jesus was supported by his Father in heaven because even Jesus had the right attitude. The right attitude is, I need to pay taxes. Every authority on earth is set by God. you have to honor the authority, Jesus said to himself. That's the reality. The source of money is not your problem. When you have the right attitude, your Father in heaven will provide with a source that you don't even expect, but you will get, because you are acting correctly and going to the right refuge to find your help to meet your needs. Another thing that we will find when we receive the right refuge is that we, by the way, it's something that we are not going to find there, by the way. We are not going to find fear. There's no fear in this refuge. Psalm 46:2 says, therefore, we will not fear. Even if the mountains jump to the oceans or the earth dissolves, we won't be fearful. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And our part of the Bible says that God is love. There is no fear in God. Come on. What are you doing? Where are you going? Why don't you get close? Why not? There's no fear in God at all. You know, I grew up in a Catholic church, and unfortunately my mom showed me and taught me that God gets angry if I don't go to church on Sunday, that he's going to put me in hell. But when I met Jesus, I found a totally different story. I found out that he was there, and we were on the earth, and because of the sin, we were separated from him. And probably about up in heaven, he said, oh no, they're going to die. And he called Jesus and said, hey son, come up here right away. And Jesus appeared and said, what's going on, Father? And probably with tears in his eyes, the Lord, Father said, sorry son, but your bride just came. And because of that, she's been separated from me. And she's going to die. And the only way to save her is if you go down there and die for her, you'll die. And Jesus said, no. If he came and died for us, then we can be reunited again with the Father. He is not far. He is not angry. He is not a punisher. He's the loving God and loving Father that is waiting for us to come. Why don't you get closer? He's the perfect refuge. He's the right one. You know what? Let me say that statement. God loves you. Even if you are seeking for your refuge in alcohol, drugs, sexual, whatever, he still loves you. And he's still near to you and waiting for you to come back. He loves you. And here we will find strength, present help, and there's no fear. I don't know, I just want to encourage you. Don't be afraid anymore. I know that many of us, we have passed through very painful situations in our lives. I know that. And I don't want to minimize any of your pain, man. I mean, of your pain. Let me tell you something about me. I told you, I guess, that my father died when I was 18 years old. Can you imagine an 18 years old boy? I think not even my heart was that age. And at that age, you don't understand a lot of stuff that is going on around the world, you know. But my father was not there anymore. And I really haven't got enough time to suffer, you know, my loss. Because I had four more brothers and sisters at home and needed to work so hard to help my mother. My father passed away like 32 years ago. And every time I was, I brought his memories to me, I was feeling so hurt inside. And I said, why? He was a great father. I mean, he was an incredible person. He loved my wife. He loved us. He's a great man. But about 2 years ago, you know, thinking about that and praying to the Lord, I felt so much pain within me. And I found out that I was accused of my father for abandoning me. Even when he died, you know, he had a heart attack. But I felt like abandoned by him. So the Lord said to me, what's going on? And I said, Lord, this is so much pain. The Lord said to me, you need to forgive him. I said, yeah, of course I will. But the Lord says, no. He said, because I not even only died, I not only died for your sins, I paid for your pain and for your sickness as well. So, it was about 2 years ago. You know what? I'm free. I found the truth. And in my healing, in my right refuge. And I just wanted to share this with you because if something like that is affecting your life, it's so simple. But you have to just get close to him and let him know he will heal your heart. There is not a pain or a wound that he cannot heal. Amen? I went to a retreat last week, and let me tell you, I had an amazing time. I was beyond my expectations. I saw so much stuff. I felt so much love, sincere love for many men that were there with me. I've had a couple of band, and they have been here in our church sharing our Sunday services. And there were, at the beginning, some, you know, they gave us the opportunity to introduce ourselves to everybody. I mean, they gave us the time because everyone is valued. 150 men doing their self-introduction, it took time. But it was a incredible time. So I heard a couple of men saying, for example, with a very arrogant face, I come from such and such, my name is such and such, and I don't know what I'm doing here. Others said, my name is such and such, I come from such and such, and I don't need to be here. And everyone said, my name is so and so, and I come from such and such, and I'm here because this guy forced me to come. I'm not gonna tell you what happened there. It's so much stuff. But I want to show you a video about that. Please be patient. It lasts like 12 minutes, but it's good. And I know this video will tell you what happened and what could happen to all of us. Not going to a retreat, but going to the right refuge. Amen.
We've all searched for life day to day. Yes, ma'am.
de coincidencia. Sorry, business is going to be in June again. If anyone will not be there, I can give you information for you being there. And Sorry, business retreat is going to be in Costa Rica in February next year. And I am inviting you guys to go as well. It's going to be in Spanish and we're going to be just in ceremony. Why don't you please stand up for a moment? And this is the time we ask the Lord, well, what do you want to tell the Lord? Is the word that I heard already. Let's close your eyes for a moment. Let's see anybody else. This is a very personal moment to you and the Lord. If you have been walking out far from the Lord, far from the right refuge, this is a good time to come and get closer to the Father. You just can do it by your own prayer. It's your own decision. Thank you, Jesus.
You are my savior. You are my refuge. And
I receive you all. I receive you, Lord, today in my life, in my family. Lord, I ask you that you would help everyone who made this prayer. Let us, by showing to others that you are our refuge, expand the kingdom of heaven and study that right there in our house. The kingdom of God is when a husband comes to his wife and says, honey, please forgive me. The restoration will really start right in the bottom of your house. Right there. All you need today is the right attitude. Remember, it's that's what you need, the right attitude. And the Lord will do the rest. I promise you. I promise you. I thank you, Father, for the incredible congregation you gave us to God. I thank you for the Holy Spirit in you. Amazing presence here within us. Let us feel today that you are with us, you are at hand, you are near, you are within me, everywhere I go. And I will feel today that in you I will find strength and help, and that in you there is no fear. We are very fearful. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bye-bye. Great Sunday. Bless you all.